Joining me first is Dr. Lee Merritt. Dr. Merritt, welcome back to the broadcast. Thank you for joining us. Dr. Merritt, you there?
I'm here. Sorry.
That's
can you hear me?
How are you this evening?
Yeah, good. As good as we can be in this mess.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're glad you're here with us as always. You give us your website. By the way, I love your website.
Oh, yeah. TheMedicalRebel.com.
I love
three words, TheMedicalRebel.com.
All right. I have some questions for you, but before I do that, I want you just to tell us, it's been at least, what, 2+ weeks since you've been with us. What new information do you need to tell our audience since you were last with us here on Lindell TV?
Well, I mean, there's more of the same about the vaccine and about the non-vaccines, the genetic therapies. And now we're over 7,000 deaths in VAERS. It just seems to be there's no stopping this. You know, the CDC kind of slips in these Nazi-esque type ideas that they're going to, for our own safety, maybe put us in security areas. That's about the unvaxxed.
Let me stop you there. Can you expand on that, please?
Well, yeah, they're worried for our safety because we haven't been vaccinated, so we might need to be taken to a. It just came out. It's a CDC document that just came out. It's talking about how we might need to make sure that you're carefully taken care of. It sounds a lot like, you know, Andrei Sakharov when they. You know, he spoke a little bit too much about atomic weaponry, and they said, you know, Dr. Sakharov is not well, and we'll put him in a psychiatric institution until he gets better. That was kind of the upshot. It made it sound like they were caring for him, but I doubt that was what they did, and I doubt that's what they'll do to us either. It just makes the urgency of taking our world back that much more acute, I think.
Absolutely. By the way, I don't know if you're aware of this, but I was just received, we'll get into it tomorrow, a press release put out by the Department of Justice, which, as we know, has been taken over by the Marxist. And as my former FBI friends, including Terry Turchi, who was on the 7th floor of the FBI, briefing the FBI director at the time, Louis Free, has written in his book, in their own words, the Democrat Party's push toward a Marxist America. He tells us the Justice Department, of course, has been taken over by the Marxists, and now the Marxists and the Justice Department have taken away the independence of the FBI and are using the FBI as a political weapon against their enemies. Well, the Justice Department tonight has put out a press release, actually October 4th, last night. Justice Department addresses violent threats against school officials and teachers, citing an increase in harassment, intimidation, and threats of violence against school board members, teachers, and workers in our nation's public school today. Attorney General Merrick B. Garland directed the FBI and U.S. Attorney's offices to meet in the next 30 days with federal, state, tribal, territorial, and local law enforcement leaders to discuss strategies for addressing this disturbing trend. These sessions will open dedicated lines of communication for threat reporting, assessment, and response by law enforcement. If you go on and read this, apparently, I guess now the FBI wants to get involved with some of the parents and the school boards, because if you've been watching any of these school board meetings, a lot of these parents are quite upset over the mandate of masking. Now we have California schools mandating, I guess, the vaccine onto, quote, vaccine onto students. And of course, we have now watched parents reading from books that are in their kids' schools that are so triple X, we couldn't read them on the air. And yet these books in the school library being given to the kids to read, the school board interrupts the parents, as we've seen in an article by Leo Homan last night at leohoman.com, and tell them, well, you can't read that. There are kids in the room. Well, that's the whole purpose, morons. That's why the moms, and there's more than one, have gotten up in front of the school board and started reading this triple X trash in front of the school board to prove that it's not appropriate, because they tell them, the moms reading it, it's inappropriate to be reading that out here because there are kids in the room. Yeah, that's the point. So apparently the FBI is now going to start investigating any parents in America that are somehow intimidating school board members over masking, vax, and other curriculum, critical race theory, etc. So this is going to be kicked to a whole new level to try to get the Marxist and the FBI, I guess, and the Justice Department want to try to intimidate America's parents to sit down and shut up and accept their servitude and the Marxist revolution, or we're going to throw you somewhere, perhaps.
Well, and you know, they should be more upset that these children are being vaccinated at age 12. They've determined that the child can be vaccinated. So the parent takes their kid to school and the kid comes home vaccinated and they don't even have to know about it. I think that the normal reaction to that would be to be a little upset, a lot upset. I mean, this is synthetic DNA and RNA that you're putting in our children. And children have essentially 0% chance of dying of this. I mean, the children that have died from this around the world generally have other serious comorbidities, except it's interesting in Europe, they found out that some of the people that were listed as a child dying of COVID at age 3 or age 5, they were actually 103 and 105, but the computers couldn't take the third digit.
Oh, wow.
You can't make this up. And but there's no reason to be vaccinating children. It's corrupt and evil.
Remind our audience as to your wonderful resume. You're a surgeon, correct?
Right. I'm an orthopedic surgeon, and I did spine surgery and orthopedic trauma my career. And I just recently retired quite a little sooner than I thought. But, you know, I'm going to be 69 this year, so that's okay. I got into this fight because I couldn't believe it about the masks. I was asked to go down to my local city where my office is, and I have a little private office away that has nothing to do with my orthopedic contract I had at a hospital elsewhere. But I went down to speak against the mask mandate. And I thought, this is going to be a slam dunk because, you know, it's not like science started in 2020. We've known that masks don't work against things like this forever. I mean, OSHA knows it. The environmental science people know it. It's not just a few doctors speaking like this. Because just because you're a surgeon doesn't mean you know about the science of masks. But I actually reviewed the science of masks, and it's true that these don't work for this. So anyway, I went down thinking, yeah, 3 minutes is fine. It should be a slam dunk. Oh, no. The entire University of Nebraska was on the other side to mandate the masks. And you have to wonder about this. You know, I know now what is going on, that they've been paid. The universities have been paid by Dr. Fauci taking money from the big guys. He's just the bag man intermediary. But this money got passed out to universities that caused them to overbuild. And now if they don't get that constant influx of money from the NIH, they're going to crash. So what has happened is when they say, you know, you got to go out and convince the city to mask up and you've got to give people remdesivir and you can't use ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, they say yes, because they don't want to go down financially. That's really what's going on here. But I personally, I have a hard time believing how these guys can live within their skin, because really you have to ask yourself, when you go in, who, even if you believe that masks do something, this not, when you go into a restaurant, you have to wear a mask in 6 feet, and then you can take it off because you're safe going to the bar. But then you can, you know, if you have to go to the bathroom, you have to wear the mask to walk by people that are unmasked sitting at tables. Apparently, if you're sitting at a table, you're safe, but the minute you stand up, you're dangerous. That is not contagion control. That is one of those psychological operating points that they do to control prisoners. It's caused, you know, they isolate you, they monopolize your perception, and they have these silly things you have to do. You know, you have to agree to do certain stupid things, and that's right up there. So I just couldn't believe it, and that's how I got into this. And also about hydroxychloroquine. Hydroxychloroquine, we knew since late 70s, actually could help against viruses, and they've hidden it very, very successfully for a long time. So it didn't just come out in February.
So what do you make now of California being the first state, you've already said it shouldn't happen, but being the first state to mandate vaccinations onto these kids, what, 12 years of age and up?
I think, you know, personally, now, I don't know if you saw it, but there are pictures floating around now, and I don't speak Turkish, but I think this is a legitimate medical group that's doing this. There's a group of doctors having a conference, press conference, and they're showing these horrible deformities in little babies that were born to vaccinated mothers. Mm. You know, MIT just came out and showed that they believe now that the RNA, too, can get into your DNA. We are talking about genetic therapies. We're talking about synthetic genetics. This is not normal RNA. It's not normal DNA. It's synthetic. So whatever it does, your children don't need it. And I just can't believe we're doing this. I can't believe anybody would experiment on their children. Keep in mind, these drugs, this so-called vaccine was never designed to be a vaccine. It was designed for gene therapy and oncolytic therapy, meaning cancer therapy. And it could never meet the safety bar. You know, they didn't do well. They had complications. And unfortunately, with those therapies, you can be sued. Ah, but no problem with vaccines. and they're using it on, and they want, for some reason, which, you know, we can speculate about, not to leave anybody unvaccinated. Remember how they told us about herd immunity? Initially, it was, oh, we have to get to herd immunity. Well, herd immunity means you get, we talked about that with other vaccines like smallpox years ago. And it was, you get 60 to 70% of people vaccinated, and the other 30 to 40% now are somewhat protected because there's less disease in the population. That's what herd immunity really means. Well, they're misusing the term here, but they've gotten now to the point they believe one unvaccinated person apparently threatens the whole world. So what they're saying is not medically and scientifically true on almost all fronts, but certainly risk-benefit analysis. The Oxford University came out with a statistic last year that said children are more likely to die of being struck by lightning than being killed by COVID. Mm. Now, you wouldn't run out and give yourself, your child, an experimental, unproven vaccine with synthetic gene therapy with that statistic. That's insane. And if you're pregnant and experimenting on your unborn, I feel bad for you. I'm a mother of two great guys, and I just can't imagine doing that, taking that risk.
I played on Sunday night, last night, I'll play more tonight. Have you seen the clips of recent video, by the way, of Archbishop Vigano talking about this experimental serum made from aborted fetuses, talking about the Great Reset? This has all been done to make us sick. He calls it a global crime against humanity. He calls it murder. He says we're at war. Have you seen any of these clips by him?
I haven't this time. I saw him previously, and I appreciated him standing up. I do believe we're at war. We're not in a traditional war. You know, I think when I was on before, I talked about the Chinese colonel Zhao and Wang that wrote the book Unrestricted Warfare. That's yes. What we're in. They wrote it in 1999. And basically, you know, for your listeners, I mean, it means that it's not a battlefield that we see. We don't see clearly the enemy. It's not traditional like Napoleonic warfare. It's multidimensional. As you guys are valiantly fighting on Lindell TV, you know, the political war, the economic war, there's a psychological war going on. And then there's a cybersecurity war, and then there's a bio war. I mean, there's probably other dimensions that I haven't even mentioned, but that's where this is. And so this is fitting in into that. If you think that we're just fighting a virus, you're going to be a victim. That's my little lead into my podcast every week, you know, and we want you to be a survivor. So to really, you have to be skeptical. And I think of what's happening when these people run out and get this so-called vaccine that's not a vaccine. I liken it to people in Sarajevo that, you know, they were in a world-class, beautiful city, and they thought they would get up some Saturday morning and go have a little cappuccino at the corner store. But what happened is a stray bullet hit them and killed them because they didn't realize that the world had changed overnight and they were in a war zone. And that's where we are. We have to understand this is not by accident. Your public health officials are not there to help you. There's no evidence they've done one thing to help us. Somebody tell me one. They've lied about these tests. We have a disease we haven't done the proper investigation of. We should have done certain things and we simply didn't do them, like pathology, autopsy the dead. We did this in 1918, but somehow in 2020, we don't have the technology. No, we had the capability. We just didn't do it. So we are left with not really knowing what we're dealing with a lot of times. But if you're skeptical enough to think this is not right, then you won't make hasty decisions. I can tell you we know this is a bioweapon. Don't let anybody confuse you about that. That was figured out in January of 2020 by a group in Delhi, India, and they Prashant Pradhan et al. And brilliantly, I mean, they looked at this genomics of the or the genetics of the spike protein, and they said, this can't come out of nature. There are four inserts here that look like HIV, the AIDS virus. And also, they're the same four inserts in every specimen that we've gotten that has come out of a sick and dying person that they think was COVID, every one. But none in the wild coronavirus. It doesn't work that way. You see, that's and they, for their beautiful science, they got what I knew they were right. They got completely they were told that they had to withdraw the paper. Zero Hedge that reported on the paper, which isn't Zero Hedge is an economic journal, not anything to do with science, but they reported on it and they got deprogrammed or deplatformed just for reporting on it. And recently when I went to refine the original paper because I wanted to check some facts for a talk, it has been scrubbed from the internet because these guys hit the heart of the whole problem, and they showed if this is false. So let's take this another step further. Think about this. If we can prove that the spike protein, which is the pathogen that they say makes us sick, which we pretty much agree with, was man-made, then the very same thing is in the vaccine. They put a bioweapon in the vaccine. Let's think about that. And here's my favorite on this narrative, the false narrative they gave us in 2020. They convinced us that this stuff was so infectious and so transmissible, so deadly, that three or four, just a few little spike protein viruses in your nose could make you sick and kill you. So you should rush out and get a vaccine that, and the way the vaccine works, it's going to put trillions of spike proteins all over your body. That is really the truth here. Let's think about that. I can die from three or four in my nose, but you're going to shower me with millions, trillions, literally trillions. I mean, if anybody told you that plan ahead of time, how many people would have raised their hand and said, yeah, I want to go. I want to jump on that.
And yet I talked to a guy today who, great guy, nice guy, very good guy in many regards. I like him. We're friends. And since my last conversation with him, he went and got the shot. And I said, why? And he said, I didn't want to get it. I did not want to get it. But my wife's a teacher and I have grandkids. And I thought, what does that have to do with the price of tea in China? You know? And I didn't even bother arguing with him. At this point, you know, I guess I could push him to more information. Hope he doesn't keep getting more shots. But, he kept saying, but I didn't want to get it. All these people feeling pressured and bullied into getting this shot.
I don't think they can wrap around their head around how big a bad deal this is. I mean, people can't believe it's a worldwide conspiracy to kill us. I mean, really, that's hard.
That's exactly what Vigano, Archbishop Vigano, keeps calling it, a worldwide conspiracy. He uses that word.
Well, and I tell you, here's how I can prove it in 2 minutes or less. You know, the PCR test came out, and it was actually designed as a lab test, as Carrie Mullis said. It never should have been used. It never should be used for diagnosis. And there are multiple reasons for that. But let's give them that. Let's say, okay, that was just a mistake on their part. They wanted to try and do the best they could, and that's all they had. So let's just give them that. But what happened in 2020 is that it was sent out. It was commercially produced, mass produced. It got sent out to all these labs. And these lab managers that took the test with the brochure how to do the test, these are highly trained professionals. These guys know how to do tests. They know how to train their staff. They know how to quality control. And yet every lab manager around the world did it wrong. And they all did it wrong in the same way. They didn't undercycle the test. They overcycled the test. I read the brochure. You're not supposed to go over 30 cycles. If you go over 30, you start getting false positives. If you go over 35, it's junk. It's not a little bit off. It's just junk, like a broken clock gets the right time twice a day. Okay. So all these professional lab managers did it wrong. They all did it wrong in the same way. They overcycled. And on that magic date of January 21st, they all had an epiphany and they suddenly did it right. Mm. Now, here's my question to you. This is the worldview question about conspiracy. There's really only two worldviews here. Either you believe in this group psychosis theory of lab managers, all lab managers had some kind of hissy fit and just couldn't do their job, and it was like they communicated psychically to each other, all did it wrong, or you believe that somebody told them to overcycle the tests. And that was the only purpose that could have had, is to terrorize the public, to give them a false sense of what was happening, to terrorize them so they would go out and get this vaccine or whatever. You know, they were terrorizing people. By definition, you know, you don't talk about a conspiracy to have an ice cream party. A conspiracy tends to do bad things to
people.
That's right. Two or more people get together to do bad things to people. So this, unless you believe in group psychosis, you have to believe it was a conspiracy, because it was all over the world. It wasn't one state, one hospital. It was everywhere. So somebody at an international level had to conspire together to actually tell these people to do it wrong for the purpose of harming the public.
Absolutely. Let me have you respond to this before I let you go. This news story tonight. Francis Collins, NIH director, resigns after gain of function falsehood exposed.
Well, interesting. Now, you know, most people don't know Francis Collins' name. I do this when I give talks sometimes. I ask him, do you know who Francis Collins is? No. The most dangerous people in all this are the people whose names we don't know. Probably the guys way up in the shadows are funding this that we don't know. But Francis Collins' background, he's a geneticist. If you look, I'll tell you something interesting. If you look at the new globalist pin, I happen to see this on, I don't know, Huffington Post or something I don't normally see, but they had these cute little pins on their lapels, the Davos crowd. And they said, oh, look at that cute little new globalist pin. And what it is, that pin is actually, it's a replica or a reproduction in artsy form of the genetic code to decipher a genome. If you want to know what's going on here, just think transhumanism and genetic manipulation, and they wear it on their lapel.
And I'm going to say this, and you can respond one way or the other. I know that Carrie Made, when we were with her and you and the other doctors in St. Louis, and we interviewed you for that, she talked about this little thing under the microscope that's green that can be seen. And then 60 Minutes has done a piece on this recently and shows it and says that this little green thing in the vial, and 60 Minutes is showing it, can be put into a soldier. They're talking about the military then. Can be injected, and then it will tell and send diagnostics so that the ship's doctor will know who's getting sick in advance so they can start treating them before their symptoms show up. And so what is injected into them, this little green deal in this vaccine or shot, she says this same kind of thing is in some of these vaccines. And I'm hearing from people that are in the medical field that are spending hours and hours and hours studying these vaccines, and they're seeing something that over time starts to change and becomes almost like artificial intelligence or some kind of computerized. Yep. You want to finish my sentence here?
Well, network. I think what you're seeing is something becoming a network.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. And that was Charles Lieber's research. He created a silver impregnated nanogel that it went as a little thread-like thing. It organized itself into mesh and could be put and go around nerves, and it could spy on the nerve, or signals could go to it to the nerve. And there's a patent out there that talks about that we as subjects, that talks about us as subjects, will have a plurality of electronic devices configured to be carried around. Now, the fact checkers say, oh, no, that's they're talking about cell phones. No, carried around could be in my arm, right? By said subject or in my brain, and configured with instructions to generate an ID, exchange IDs with people near you, generate a score based on those IDs that are received, and communicate with a server. So in other words, it's beautiful crowd kind of control. I'm vaccinated, you're vaccinated, we all have this little, like you were saying, this self-organizing network, and now when we get near each other, when we get within, I don't know, some feet, it will signal each other, we swap IDs, and eventually I will get a score, and then it says, after it sends relevant, after it communicates with the server, it can send relevant treatment instructions to said subjects based on said received information. I mean, I love the language. We are subjects. So if they think we're around too many people, oh boy, we have to go back in and get another booster. I don't know if that's what they're talking about, but you see that, I mean, they're thinking about not just an Internet of Things, but what they call IOB, the Internet of Bodies. They're hooking us up to each other and to their system.
There are patents for this, so you're not talking crazy talk. There are patents for this.
No, I just read you then that's patent 11107588. I just read. That's exactly, I just cleaned up the language to make it simpler. But that's what it is. And
I got a doctor, again, I can't verify it, but I know the doctor. Maybe you've heard it, maybe you haven't, you tell me. He says he started thinking that these things are sending information. So he went out and he bought a $100 device to wave over someone, like you can buy a $100 device to see if there's bugs or listening devices in your home, you know, something's sending a signal. So he went and bought one of these online, and he takes it to a patient who agrees to be a part of the study, and he videotapes this, moves it around the patient, gets no signal, nothing. So he goes out of the room and gets a cell phone, brings the cell phone back into the room with it turned on, of course, and has it around the patient. And as soon as he does that, he waves the device again. Now he's getting a signal. Well, he's thinking, well, maybe that's because the phone is sending a signal, which is making this go off. So we need to have a sterile environment. He takes that, turns it off, puts it way on down the hall, goes back into the exam room, now a clean exam room, waves this device over the patient that anyone could buy for $100 to see what's sending a signal, and it starts to send a signal. And he said this is a clean room with nothing else in the room. He had nothing from her until he brought in a device that would send a signal to it and wake it up, and now it's starting to send a signal. Now, again, I'm just telling you what he's told me, and now I'm hearing this from other people. I'm asking for the video. I'm asking for the test to be done because I can't validate any of it. I'm just reporting. What say you?
Well, I know we can, like, they didn't believe us when we said that people were magnetic, but that's a really easy thing to check. You took a paperclip and you see if it would stick to their arm or any place else, you know, and I found 60% of people that were recently vaccinated, the paperclip stuck to their arm. And I'm not talking about just because it was sweaty. No, I know how to do a test. Anyway, it was sticking magnetically. So we know something is up. And, you know, Carrie Made, that has looked at a bunch of this stuff, she showed in her, I mean, she showed some pictures, but she told me it almost looks like these pieces seek each other out. And that's yes. That's the quality of Dr. Lieber's self-organizing network. I mean, that's the mesh network. So wow. I believe it. I don't think we have all the answers, and it's very creepy, but it's not, you know, people should listen. There's a couple videos online worth listening to. One is Dr. Charles Morgan at West Point. And he points out what we have the capability of doing, and that's an old lecture. That was the capability of making a cell, this is Craig Bentner's work, making a cell make any product we want. Let's say we wanted to make alcohol, okay? And we could drive it into your brain and we could remotely control it. We have that technology. And then we could produce alcohol in your brain if we wanted to. So the idea that we have to now put external electrodes into using neurosurgery to get you wired up to the internet is long past.
And what's the name of that individual that gave that talk?
Charles Morgan is one. James Giordano also gave a talk about neuropsychiatric or neuropsychologic aspects of warfare. Both of them kind of started out by saying in one phrase or another that the brain is the new battlefield. And you know, that is, you know, I like the two Chinese colonels that I have talked about about the book. I like one of their quotes. They talk about this kind of warfare as kinder weapons in the sense that we're not going to have a lot of blood on the street, but you can kill people with very, very stealth stuff. Mm. And they have this comment. They say, some morning people will awaken to discover with surprise that quite a few gentle and kind things have begun to have offensive and lethal characteristics. Yep. I mean, I kind of like their language, but what they're saying is they can poison your toaster. What we're seeing is that we may have a contact poison. I'm finding out, looking around, we've had other bioweapons tested on the American people. Mycoplasma. The doctors Nicholson really brought this out about mycoplasma being tested on people and lost their professorships over it, I think. But there's a lot of stuff that we're just going to find out, and it's ugly.
Your website, again, is?
TheMedicalRebel.com.
And you are a orthopedic surgeon, and you're also retired military, right?
Well, not retired, but I spent 10 years in the military. Yeah, I did my orthopedic residency there, and I spent 4 years mostly with the Marine Corps caring for people.
And give your website one more time.
Three words, TheMedicalRebel.com.
As always, thank you for being with us, Doctor.
Thank you so much.
Look forward to having you back. Great, great guest. Okay.